You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Happy first day of baseball, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, March 27th. It's a beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, on Facebook, on YouTube, or by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Are you ready for some baseball? Clearly, there we go. All right, yes, that'll work. if folks watching on social media, if you check out the wardrobe, the attire of the gentlemen who are speaking to you right now, there's Greg Bach at Radio Park with his Brew Crew t-shirt on. He's a happy camper. It's Thursday. It's first day of Brewer season, aren't you? You are happy about baseball.
I'm happy. I would say we're resplendent in our Brewers gear.
Resplendent is about right. I've actually put a baseball cap under these headphones, which doesn't feel good. So it's going away really soon. But the Brewers Hawaiian shirt is here. We are ready for the Brewers, and we're ready for the optimism that comes. Tony Hurt's already on YouTube. Today defines the season that can't possibly put too much expectation into opening day. What? No. Oh. We have proper expectations for this. We're just having fun. It's baseball.
It's baseball. It's great. I have breaking news. The White Sox have been mathematically counted out of the playoffs. Well, White Sox, it was a good season. You had a good run.
Yeah, you guys gave it your best. Good work there. Oh, this is, you know, it is purely a psychological thing.
Yeah.
But for those of us for whom it is, this is a great day. It's a great day. It's just, you know, winter's done. Spring is here. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite, you know, games is back on. There'll be this lovely white noise every evening on the TV as I'm kind of winding things down. I'll look over and, you know, catch some of the game. I'll sit and watch a little bit of it. Oh, it just makes me feel good.
I'll sit down on my couch, turn on my TV, and I'll say, Brewers baseball. Like, awesome. I'll click. They'll be like, blackout. I'm like, go!
Yeah, you gotta always be mindful of the channels and who's got what business dealings. Tony reports on YouTube the Cubs have now collapsed under the weight of expectations again. Oh well.
Well, they always have 2016.
Yes, yeah. Got to have something coming up on the program today. Joe Zepecki's on vacation this week, so we've got a guest pinch hitting. See what I did there? And we will be talking about the president's latest round of tariffs that he's announced, this time on automobiles and car parts, and it is going to hit Wisconsin. And not just because of, you know, I mean, it's not like we build a ton of cars here anymore like we used to back in the day. But there's still parts, but there's also all the dealerships. There's everything else that goes into, you know, the industries that'll be affected by a 25% tariff. It's done ostensibly, the president says, to boost cars that are American made. With one small problem. There are no vehicles that are 100% American made. Because some of the parts or the components come from other countries. So prices are going up for everybody. Everybody. There's nobody's escaping what this has happened, what is happening with this new round of tariffs with a president who is hell-bent on taking this country into a recession. One guy that doesn't have to worry about a recession is the world's richest man. And according to new reports, he is now approaching $20 million out of his pocket for Elon Musk to try to buy a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Our guests from the state legislature at 7:30 think that might be reason enough for folks to send a message that elections are not for sale in this state. We will talk to Senator Kel DeRoyes and new state representative Ann Rowe about next week's races and what's happening in the Assembly and Senate in Madison. And we will talk as well to a former official with the Republican Party in Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. We noted a media report about all of this turmoil between, you know, the so-called old guard of the party versus essentially the Trumpers, the people for whom there are no norms, there is no decorum, there is no there's no decent behavior, it appears, judging by what they're willing to reward and encourage. So we'll talk to a guest about what is happening there and what does it mean to all of our friends and neighbors who are either consider themselves Republican or at least maybe right of center, to see a party that has strayed so far from being moderate as to be unrecognizable. Now, these are folks who don't consider themselves Democrats. They certainly don't consider themselves progressives, but they are politically homeless right now. And what has to be done to try to restore some kind of civility and a notion of public service to politics rather than just win elections and rule over others. So we have all of that coming up, as well as a forecast from Brittany Merlot. Here is her state forecast for today. She says an active pattern is about to ramp up across the state, sending everything from heavy rain to freezing rain and snow chances our way over the weekend. So here's the state forecast for today. Patchy light rain in the morning, that'll linger into southeastern Wisconsin, otherwise becoming partly sunny and mild. Highs in the upper 40s up north to low 60s in the southwest. Southwestern winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Becoming cloudy tonight, southwest Wisconsin could see some small rainstorms overnight, and then that'll move northeast throughout Friday morning. Lows tonight in the mid-20s in northeast Wisconsin to the upper 40s in the southwestern part of the state, a southeast wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Again, she'll have more details on the forecast coming up, but at the bus stop right now at just about 6:13, a weird range of temperatures from 41 here in Chippewa Falls to 22 in Hayward, then back up to 39 in Amory, but down to 26 in Wausau. Wisconsin Rapids is at 33, but La Crosse is at 43. Green Bay's at 32. Madison's at 43. Milwaukee's at 37. And it's 42 in Radio Park, where Greg Bach is and where we're watching comments, including Tony on YouTube, who said, my wife just said, oh, God, not baseball season again.
What?
Sorry, Mrs. Z. It just is. It is. It's baseball season, and we're very happy about this. Here's another reason to be happy about it. The Bucks are now without Damian Lillard indefinitely.
Jesus.
After it was determined that he had blood clots in his right calf, so he's got to be treated with blood thinners. Giannis was out yesterday at last night's game in Denver, sidelined with a sprained left foot. So the Bucks finished their five-game road trip out west, winning 2, losing 3. Losing to Denver last night, 127-117. But that's the Bucks. For us, we have the whole notion that the Brewers begin action at 2:05 this afternoon at Yankee Stadium, kicking off the 2025 season. You can hear that game on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, WBZH in Hayward, and the newest Brewers affiliate up north. I'm not going to read all those call letters every time with all those places, but on this first day of the season, to tell you that there is a wide range of stations on the Civic Media Radio Network where you can catch Milwaukee Brewers baseball. And I know it won't be the same without Uke, but We got all kinds of other great teammates in the broadcast booth, radio and TV. I think even nationally, I believe, did I hear right? Joe Buck is joining, and Bill Schroeder are calling the game for ESPN this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
From Yankee Stadium for the Brewers. So that'll be interesting. But, well, you know, you would be better to hear the hometown radio announcers all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I know he's a professional newsman and he's a sports guy, but Joe Buck calling I just have him so intertwined with football now.
Understandable, you know. But I also know that when I think back on, I mean, like Vin Scully, everybody associates him with the Dodgers.
Yep.
But when I was a kid growing up, I mean, he was on mostly CBS, and he'd be calling like the Indy 500 or the Kentucky Derby or whatever. These guys can call everything. Brian Anderson does a great job calling basketball games and now golf as well. So, yeah, I do think of Joe Buck more as national football, but he has definitely called his share of baseball games.
Yeah.
These guys just go where the money is, you know.
I get that, sister.
And they're good at what they do. Don't forget, there is a big election coming up just 5 days away, April 1st, next Tuesday. Races for state Supreme Court, state superintendent of public instruction. There's a constitutional amendment up there that says, hey, can we suppress more votes, please? There are dozens of school referendums around the state. There are local offices that are up on the ballot. Learn what's on your ballot before you go. Head over to myvote.wi.gov. That's the official website for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. So everything on there is, as the kids say, for reals. And you can find out if you're registered or not and find out how to register if you're not. So head over to myvote.wi.gov. Don't forget as well that coming up less than an hour away now is your latest chance to win in the Civic Media statewide Break into Spring Text to Win contest. You'll need the Civic Media app. And around 7:07, I'm going to give you your first chance of the day to text in an hourly keyword and be entered to win. You can win that hour's prize, and you'll be entered for the grand prize for a brand new queen mattress set and some of the accessories that go along with it. You can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for what Christina Lurie is putting together, which today includes a feature story on Wisconsin's most expensive home. It would be the Craig Bach Estate, located somewhere in the greater Kenosha area, where the man is working all the time to keep the hedgerows properly manicured and feed the swans that are in the backyard pond.
I've got a replica Miller Park in my backyard.
Life size. It's amazing. Or you could get the factual story in the newsletter, which is all about how that expensive home is in Lake Geneva. So, again, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Across the Civic Media Radio Network today, Mr. Bach is going to tell us about Matt and Aaron Air. They're talking sports, but first I'll tell you that on Nightlight Tonight with Pete Schwabe, Ben Reiser of the Wisconsin Film Festival will be a guest for Pete. And then you've got a true sports journalist guru coming up for Matt and Air today.
J.R. Radcliffe, Journal Sentinel writer and our sports guru, comes by every other Thursday talking about all things sports. But I guess we'll be talking about Brewers. And I'll have some questions about the Bucks. I'm going to have some hard questions about the Bucks.
a real cross-examination of J.R. Radcliffe coming up on Matt and Air on Air. More after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Must be spring. The little birds are singing. Or that's Mariah Carey hitting that really high range there. She's part of today's history lesson. That's coming up 30 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio. Greg, during the commercial break, was also giving us a taste of more sounds of the season. At least I thought it was. I initially thought it was just some nice old-fashioned baseball organ music, right? But no.
Turning my mic on would help.
Yes.
No, it's good old-fashioned intermission music, but not just any intermission music, intermission music from a fabulous movie. But you're right, this does sound like baseball music.
That's what I thought you were, making it sound like baseball, but it's actually Monty Python, right?
It's the intermission song from Monty Python, the Holy Grail, a movie that does not require an intermission, but...
But hey, sometimes for comedy relief,
there you go.
You've got this organ music, you may as well do something with it.
Absolutely. So,
just gets us back in the mood for baseball. 6:22 the time right now. Here's an update. We're going to talk with Sean O'Malley in just under 15 minutes about the new tariffs that President Trump is putting in. He talked about them overnight, many rants overnight on his tiny social media network, using his thumbs between 1 and 2 o'clock this morning to send all kinds of posts and make all kinds of threats toward judges and toward the European Union and the kind of thing where, again, unlike a lot of families, there isn't somebody to just gently take the phone away and say, Grandpa, go to bed. Instead, he's continuing to try to fire thousands of workers. And so that's attracted a lawsuit from 19 states, including Wisconsin. A federal judge in Maryland said yesterday he will at least briefly extend a temporary order requiring the Trump administration to bring back federal workers who were fired. But the judge said he was struggling with the scope of what he can do versus what a president can do. Because, again, with 19 different states seeking relief, but the federal workforce, of course, is scattered among 50 states. And so there's this legal thicket of, you know, if he makes an order, does it apply just to some workers? Does it apply to all the workers? You want to get all the legalities right, or else when the case is appealed, it gets thrown out on technical reasons rather than on the merits. This whole thing, like a lot of things in the law, sounds more complicated than you wish it could be. All right? You've got somebody who has capacity to fire some people, but not everybody in the federal government, okay? Not everybody answers directly to the president of the United States. He's not a king. And there are rules in some of these states where this level of firing would count as a mass layoff. And you can't have a mass layoff without first notifying that particular state so that they can put the resources in place to help all these workers who are about to lose their jobs, whether it's at an auto plant or working for the federal government in this case. So the government, through the Trump administration, is busy appealing to the U.S. Court of Appeals, this Maryland judge, saying, no, you got to hire all these workers back while we weigh whether you can do this or not. And eventually it's going to find its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And then once again, we're going to find out from the Supremes the level to which they believe a president has powers that are far beyond what we've ever seen before, what we've ever accepted before, and certainly what the U.S. Supreme Court would have ever accepted before, except that the guy they're ruling about appointed, you know, one third of their members. So there's a lot to watch for in the coming days here. And again, we'll go beyond this and talk about all the people in the private sector whose jobs are in danger about things like automobile tariffs and the like coming up a little bit later on here at this hour on Up North News Radio. It appears that Derek Van Orden is going to be holding a town hall, an online town hall, later today. Somebody sent along a note saying that he's holding one at 2 o'clock today. During the meeting, it says, I will share an update on my work in Washington, D.C. and Wisconsin's 3rd District and provide you with the opportunity to get your questions answered. Click here to sign up for the Zoom or follow the live stream on my Facebook page. So I'm going to be tuning in because, again, it's going to be just a matter of who all he blames, who all Congressman Derek Van Orden blames. Because, again, so often we hear, well, these are paid agitators who are disrupting these town halls. And yet, when you look at all the media coverage of what's been happening, these aren't paid agitators. These are scared Americans, many of whom voted for this guy, President Trump, and even Derek Van Orden, and saying, well, we wanted you to cut the wasteful spending. We didn't want you to take a meat cleaver to our health care, to our retirement, to our job security. And some folks are standing with the president, Derek Van Orden being one of them, and saying, well, what did you expect? Of course we were going to, you know, do things this badly or do this much of it, probably is what they would say. Along with that is Congressman Van Orden's support, near as I can tell, last I checked, ongoing, for Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense. Now, Derek Van Orden is a retired Navy SEAL. Just ask him. He'll tell you. He talks about his military service all the time. You would think he is Secretary of Veterans Affairs or Secretary of the Navy rather than the congressman. He's very proud of it, and we thank him for his service. But again, it's what he's done since then. And that would include standing with a Secretary of Defense that has made the most colossal blunder in the history of America's military commanders, at least most recently, to allow battle plans to be shared, you know, via a typical app, which had those messages been intercepted, would have put American lives in jeopardy. Those pilots that conducted those bombing raids in Yemen would have been in danger if things had gone just a little bit differently. And Pete Hegseth and President Trump and others can be in denial all they want, but I think it's pretty clear from the ongoing coverage, most Americans don't believe them. They know that they screwed up, and life would get a lot easier if they'd own up to it and then try to move on. But instead, they continue to deny and deflect. And I don't have any doubt that Congressman Derek Van Orden is going to be asked about that again at his town hall today, if he'd finally acknowledge what a colossal blunder this was and what a threat to national security it could have been. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley coming up next. You're up north. We'll do a little Soggy Bottom Boys from Old Brother, Where Art Thou. Not to say that we're headed toward a full-blown depression in this country, but things are going to be rough for a little while around here. We're going to talk about that with Sean O'Malley in just a second here. First, a reminder, the Brewers season opener this afternoon. Coverage starts at 1:30 this afternoon on several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. Hey, do you remember that inflation that happened after COVID? Remember, it was because supply chains were disrupted and couldn't keep up with what the consumer demand was at that point. And so prices went up. And we thought, well, if we change presidents, that'll fix everything, right? And instead, we're about to see supply chains disrupted. And we're going to see prices go up an estimated $6,000 or more on a new car from new tariffs that President Trump has announced, ostensibly about helping promote American-built vehicles, except that there are no vehicles that are built just in America anywhere. You like your GMC Sierra? That's built in Canada, by and large. You like your Chevy Silverado? Nothing more American than that, right? It's assembled in Mexico. And so there's nothing that will go untouched by this. Now, I'm going to add the usual disclaimer. It's not that all tariffs are bad. It's about the strategy that goes into your tariffs and your trade agreements and things like that. And we've talked to him before. And again, to learn a little bit more about all of this is our friend Sean O'Malley. Sean has worked for 36 years in financial services. He's worked in operational risk management, anti-money laundering, financial risk data analytics. He has worked with Ford Motor Credit, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, you name it. The guy knows what moves the auto industry and whether tariffs are going to help or hurt that. Sean is also, at least from one person's standpoint, the pride of Hudson, Wisconsin. Or would that be North Hudson? I can't recall if you were a suburban kid.
No. I was always Hudson.
Okay.
Grew up right next door to the Octagon House. Doesn't get more old Hudson than that.
That's right. Sean O'Malley is with us here. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, Pat? Thanks.
I'm doing all right. I know you when you texted yesterday about whether the markets were prepared for this level of tariffs, or if you know, if Trump was going to blink. And I think if we learned anything, even in the time that we were doing that text exchange, was that you never really know what's going to happen next. I mean, even what was just announced to start April 2nd, we won't really know till it happens, right?
Right. Yeah, that was the nexus of it, looking at what has been declared Liberation Day by the president, somewhat ironically, in, you know, when all the tariffs were going to roll out. But of course, he pulled the surprise. Unfortunately, getting increasingly typical with this administration, which is why the markets don't really, you know, have a sense of stability or comfort. And that's being reflected in sort of the numbers we saw yesterday when they said, OK, we're going to announce what tariffs we are going to do with the automotive industry, but we're going to wait until after market close to do it. So we haven't even really seen the full effect now that of what it's going to do to the stock market now that these tariffs have been announced. We do know that markets were down yesterday over 1% for most major indices. And we know that the aftermarket trading on the three names most, you know, considered U.S. automotive makers, you know, GM, Ford, and
Stellantis.
Stellantis. It's like, okay, where did that come from? But whatever. So yeah, GM's aftermarket price is down 7%. Ford and Stellantis are down 4%. We'll see how it goes today. But the interesting thing about these tariffs is that while they seem to be primarily focused on vehicles that are assembled in the United States, that's not 100% of it.
Because it's not just the autos, it's the auto parts. And the New York Times quotes the Bureau of Labor Statistics as saying about 1 million Americans are employed by auto and parts manufacturers. There's the spillover effect of 2 million more who are employed at dealers that sell cars and parts. And so while maybe some people see it as, you know, Trump versus Canada or Trump versus Mexico or China or the European Union, I mean, we started talking about the markets, but this is everybody. This is workers. This is consumers. He has put us all in this boat together.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mix. So you're absolutely right to bifurcate the parts part from the assembly part. So the assembly part is sort of an absolute. Anything not assembled in the U.S. is going to have a tariff on it. But you also have non-U.S. manufacturers like Mercedes, like Subaru, like BMW, that have assembly and production facilities here in the United States. So apparently those vehicles that are assembled here in the U.S. won't be subject to these tariffs, but parts that are made by U.S. manufacturers in either Canada or Mexico will, but it's only for some parts, it's not all parts. So once again, we have a picture that's, you know, roughly as clear as mud in terms of what it's actually going to do from a tariff perspective. But one thing is for certain, and you already mentioned it, you sort of, you know, put the lead right out there up front where it belongs. Yes, on average, car prices are going to go up about 6,000. There is some variability in that depending on, you know, what percentage of foreign content, what parts, that sort of thing. So some of the experts are saying the estimates could be anywhere from as low as $3,500 increase per vehicle to up to $12,000 increase per vehicle. So it's going to be very interesting to see sort of what happens here. And in another sort of twist, we've found out that Sean Fain, the head of the United Auto Workers, has actually signed on and is advocating strongly for the tariffs that have been in place, put in place. But
that you actually teed up my very next question, was looking at this quote from Sean Fain, of all people, who says the tariffs would, quote, end the free trade disaster that has devastated working class communities for decades. Ending the race to the bottom in the auto industry starts with fixing our broken trade deals, and the Trump administration has made history with today's actions. That's fine for Sean Fain to say for the United Auto Workers Union, but I would start with the point that you made last time you were here. These broken trade deals were signed by, God, remind me, who was president then?
It was 2018, so that would be Donald Trump, Pat.
That's right. So he signed a deal. Now he's breaking his own deal.
And he's criticized his own deal as the worst trade deal ever, which, which you just don't know where to go with a guy.
Well,
you don't
but
know where he's coming from, you don't know where he's going to, and that's, you know, why you see a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace.
Well, sure, and it's been kind of his mode of doing business going way back. You don't know what you're going to get next. He's going to go back on his word. There's no shortage of a record from Donald Trump. So if Sean Fain is going to give him the benefit of the doubt, then I'm going to ask a question that might do the same. And I'm going to go off the supposition that tariffs at this level are not the right answer, but that if we will say the status quo was not the right answer for the healthiest economy in the U.S. for automobile manufacturing and auto parts and all of that, how would you have advised a president to improve on the status quo without taking us through a trade war?
Right. And I think part of that gets back to the question that you raised initially, or sort of the disclaimer that you made, I should say, which is that not all tariffs are bad. Tariffs can be very good when they are put in place to achieve a particular objective. Unfortunately, in the case of these tariffs, the objective is anything but clear. Not sure why it's being done this way. We understand that there's sort of this overarching America First ideal that Trump pursues, but it's a little uncertain as to whether this will or will not be particularly beneficial. We're looking at a couple things. Okay, they think that more jobs are going to come back, but that means you're going to have additional production and or assembly moved into the United States. These are huge capital expenditure decisions. They are not made overnight. Realistically, given the lead times on them, it's more likely that the automakers will sort of adjust to the current environment and wait for someone else to be in the White House and remove these tariffs, because that's going to be more cost effective than, you know, spending billions and billions of dollars moving a lot of production facilities back to the United States, only to realize in another 4 years, hey, we can move them back to other lower cost centers for manufacturing. And be better off as a company financially. So
there it is, right there. That's the soundbite. Right there is, you know, that you know what? We'll just wait. We'll wait this out, and in the meantime, so many other folks will suffer. And by the way, allow me to be presumptive about the start of your answer when you're like, "Oh, I don't really know why this is." Jingoism. It's nothing more than, you know, America first, and, you know, damn the consequences. And it's going to be hurting a lot of people just to have this level of bravado in place. But now we will have it in place. And so now we have to figure out how we go forward with this. We bake in the assumption that prices are going to go up, that components are going to be a little tougher to come by. Do we just continue to do this on a piecemeal basis, or is there the prospect of an actual trade agreement, a whole new trading block between the U.S. and its trading partners?
I think in order to have,
too big?
Yeah, to have a trading agreement, you've got to have a strategy as to what you're trying to achieve. That is one thing that we really have not seen clearly from this administration. What is the strategy? Why are you making the economic decisions that you're making? I mean, and this has actually been critiqued by members of Congress saying, you know, what's the economic plan? Because nothing has been laid out clearly by the administration in terms of what they're trying to achieve. Okay, we know you're trying to, you know, get $4.5 trillion of tax cuts to billionaires and big corporations. But what else? And what else are you planning to do other than taking a bunch of public money and shoveling it to those at the top end of the economic spectrum in my opinion, mistaken ideal that it will somehow trickle down?
It sounds like something I said, it felt like 1,000 times during the campaign. What is your plan? There's a lot of rhetoric out there, but what is your plan? And so the last question I'd ask is, even if you assume that what the president says about bringing manufacturing back to America, which, you know, we already have a pretty good manufacturing sector, yes. and it's suffering from a labor shortage. So if he thinks we're going to suddenly build new car factories here, yet at the same time we're restricting immigration or even arresting people on the streets and deporting them, who's going to work in these factories, Sean?
That is a great question. Considering, let's take the example of what's happening in Nebraska, where many of the ranchers are fully reliant on undocumented migrants coming in and working there seasonally. They're having huge problems. Automakers here can't find enough skilled labor in that manufacturing, and you know, with people with the right skill sets who want to do these jobs. And the other thing is the companies themselves have decimated a lot of the, you know, centers where there used to be jobs, because they will shutter the plant, and that plant, it's, you know, it's, it tends to be sort of a one plant town, and thus you have the whole Rust Belt effect that we've been seeing for decades. You know, you, this doesn't turn on a dime. So unless you're prepared for a long, expensive investment ride, it's gonna be a tough win.
To have a plan, you have to have an economic plan, and you're gonna have to have a labor plan with an immigration component, and I'm just not hearing any of that. But at least we've set the scene for what's to come. We will check in with you again, Sean, as this unfolds and see where we're going from here. Sean O'Malley, thank you so much. Always great to talk to you.
Okay, thanks, Pat. Have a great day.
Yep, you as well. All right, when we come back, we'll have today's history lesson next. You're up north.
Bound to ride that Northern Railroad, her hands all die upon the train. Perhaps you'll die.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Let's kick off today's history lesson with the Supremes, with their number one hit from this day in 1965, 60 years ago today, making them the first ever act with four consecutive number one singles on the Hot 100.
Wow.
They were pretty good.
They did well.
You know, they were just groundbreaking. So welcome to today's history lesson. I have to say, my music segments going forward are going to be a little different because of this new podcast that I've been listening to. And it's like 6 years old already. And I know I've brought it up once before, but it's called The History of Rock and Roll and 500 Songs. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that I'm learning about the early music industry. And remember all the times in this segment we've talked about, well, so-and-so had this hit, but then Pat Boone took it to number one. Yeah. Or so-and-so took this hit, Perry Como took it to number one. The lessons in there about the lack of copyright protection for song arrangements for decades, until that song Blurred Lines. Remember we talked about that case and it was too close to a Marvin Gaye song?
Yeah.
That was actually the case, as much as I didn't necessarily agree that they were, you know, the one and the same. It took until that case for certain arrangements to get copyright protection as well.
Interesting. I didn't realize it was that long. Holy cow.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, again, if you're looking for a, you know, fresh podcast, along with all the many fine podcasts from Civic Media shows.
Nice.
This History of Rock and Roll one is really, really something.
Cool.
All right. Back to the birthdays today. We played Mariah Carey a little bit earlier. That is because she turns 56 years old today. So again, Mariah Carey, 56 today. This is her singing when she was 26.
This
song is 30 years old now. How? Anyway. Happy birthday to the U.S. Navy. The U.S. government established a permanent Navy on this day in 1794. Happy birthday to legendary film director Quentin Tarantino. A little little bit of Dick Dale and the Deltones there from Pulp Fiction, which, again, I'm not really what you'd call a Quentin Tarantino movie buff. And so I watched Pulp Fiction at the insistence of some neighbors who'd come over. It was like we were doing like a movie night or whatever. And I still remember getting to the end of Pulp Fiction and going, what did I just watch? What was that?
You know what? If you want a great Quentin Tarantino flick, he's made great movies. There's movies but the one that's the best, in my opinion, is Jackie Brown. Okay. Good heist movie, not super violent. It's like his third movie. And it's just Pam Grier, Robert De Niro, Samuel L. Jackson, Bridget Fonda, Michael Keaton. I mean, come on.
Okay, it's on the list. By the way, this tune from Dick Dale and the Deltones, not an original. Did you happen to queue up the 1927 version? Here's the original version of that song from 1927. Not really Dick Dale here. Some songs do get improved upon with time. Happy birthday. Oh, let's bring that out, and let's bring in Fergie. She is 50 years old today.
Big girls don't cry, Pat.
Yeah.
We don't.
Let's see. Normally we do number one songs, but this next song only peaked at number two on this day in 1976 for Gary Wright's big hit.
I will never not think of Wayne's World.
Of course not. Kind of like Dick Dale and the Deltones with Pulp Fiction, you know? Let's see. I've got, Sammy Hagar.
Yep.
Made his first appearance as Van Halen's lead singer on this day in 1986 when the group began a tour in Louisiana.
I am listening to Alex Van Halen's memoir right now.
Oh, how's that?
He reads it, and he's got a very interesting speaking tone.
Okay. By the way, we're going to let this run because this song has one of the worst lyrics of all time. Give a listen. Here it comes. Right now. Yep. Kids, only time will tell if we'll stand the test of time. Sammy Hagar, the legend. This is International Whiskey Day. This is World Theater Day.
Oh.
Yeah, this is Spanish Paella Day. Mm. If you've ever had paella, you know just what a wonderful everything in one pan dish it can be. Later turned into Rice-A-Roni. Anyway, this is also Quirky Country Music Song Titles Day. Oh. Did you come up with any? I looked up a few here.
The one that always comes off the top of my head is May the Birds of Paradise Fly Up Your Nose.
There was also the Johnny Cash song Flushed from the Bathroom of Your Heart. Bobby Bear's Drop Kick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life. Hank Williams, My Bucket's Got a Hole in It. Rusty Ford, If the Phone Don't Ring, Baby, You'll Know It's Me. And then finally, this one by Chuck Mead, She Got the Ring and I Got the Finger. Country music has its quirky song titles, and they are celebrated on a day like this.
I will also put in for consideration by Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn, You Are the Reason Our Kids Are Ugly.
Yes. I didn't want to put that one in there.
Oh, no,
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you were willing to go there. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about the joke is always Democrats in disarray. Oh, trust me, it's the Republicans that are in disarray in Northeast Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. And then we'll talk to two state legislators as well in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.